under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion as we face the issues each and every day. Our program is designed to run you, our listener. We set the stage. We ask the questions, invite you to call in with your dialogue and discussion on the issue. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, it's not a matter of political jargon. It's not a matter of looking at denominational dogma or some religious theme of some kind. We're talking about looking at what is happening in our city, in our nation, and across the world through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say? There's not anything that could take place or has taken place or will take place that God's Word doesn't already cover. It is history pre-written in the Scripture from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation. We're talking about today an issue, or a title for an issue, drones, guns, and the Bible. Is there a nexus? Drones, guns, and the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, it appears that the Biden administration today intends on leaving his office with America in shambles. When you watch what is taking place and his glad-handing President Trump in the Oval Office and talking about making a smooth transition and helping Trump, that's a lie. Behind the scenes, Joe Biden is seething. He's angry because he was dethroned by his own party. He's angry because he has never been in control. It has been the puppeteers. He's the puppet that's been pulling the strings. He's angry at America. He's angry that he couldn't have some of the things that he wanted to accomplish through his handlers. He could not get it done. And as a result of that, as one of our sons said not too long ago, he said, "Dad, the Democrats are willing to burn America down if they can rule over the ashes." And I'm seeing that to be more and more the potentiality of what is taking place today. But I want us to understand that regardless of how dark it gets, as Dr. Adrian Rogers said many, many years ago, it's gloriously dark, because every day is closer to the time that God's going to snatch the believers out of this old world and what is called the rapture, the sudden seizure, the snatching away. And I don't know about you, but as I jokingly use the term and yet very serious, are you ready for the rapture? And I say, my bags are packed. My ticket's purchased. It's already been punched, ready to walk through the gates. But as we look at what is taking place, we realize that we're getting into a quandary, a major, 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 situation in America today, where you wonder if we can survive. You wonder if we can pull out of this ditch, if you please, that we're in, and the dilemma that we're faced with. Now, understand, we're looking forward to major changes as of January the 21st, 2025, on 20th of January, where Donald J. Trump will be sworn in. But it is my most humble opinion. Let me say this as a kind of a nexus to what I'm saying today. It is my most humble opinion that the stage is being set, the chessmen are being put in place, where there will be major calamity under Donald J. Trump's watch. I believe they're orchestrating things financially, militarily, with the open borders, so that when Trump goes in, calamity after calamity could possibly take place and be blamed on Trump. They are Trump-proofing, the Biden administration, Trump-proofing, as they call it, not my terms, theirs, Trump-proofing every agency, every federal department. They're making people permanent employees and not where they could be fired. They're setting it up so that the rules and the regulations say that the federal workers can stay at home, not have to come back to the office, because Trump has said, you've got to come back and go to work or you'll be fired. They're Trump-proofing the entire administration today. That's what they're busy about doing. One writer said they're hiding files, burning files, wiping their Facebook accounts clean, et cetera, so that there could be no tracing back to who did what, when, and where. But Joe Biden just, ladies and gentlemen, commuted or pardoned about 1,500 people, many of whom are hardened criminals that deserve their prison time. Yet we have over 1,200 January 6 prisoners still in jail, many of them never having had a trial. Those that had a trial, the trials were ramrodded through based on a lie, and part of that lie was out of the J6 commission with Liz Cheney heading it up, that we're finding now she made major errors, if you look back in retrospect. Basically, tutoring witnesses, making false statements in the reports, etc., etc. But these men and women languishing in jail, ladies and gentlemen, they continue to. It's a pitiful term, our political position that we find ourselves in. A pitiful political position today. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to have these prisoners, J6 prisoners, released immediately. President Trump said day one he's going to release them. Couldn't be sooner, in my most humble opinion. We'll talk about today also the shooting. The 15-year-old girl walked into a Christian school and started shooting. We're talking about the fact that there is a need today to reinstitute the Bible into society. I was delighted to hear President Trump say some things, and I'll paraphrase his statements. We need to get God back into the society, need to put the Bible back in society. Christianity needs to be recognized once again in our nation. And I don't think it could have been summarized any better than he made that statement. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, lest I forget it, right after the monologue today, our telephone lines will be open. You're invited to call in. That call-in number is 904-831-0917. Call-in number is 904-831-0917. But as we face the issues, we go back to the truth book. John 8:31-32, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made this statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. Let me paraphrase that and illuminate the thought on that. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, stay in, keep in, continue to read my word, then you're my disciples indeed. That word indeed could be translated truly. In other words, Jesus says a sign, an indication, a benchmark of whether or not you're a true disciple of Jesus is whether or not we stay in the word. And if we stay in the word, he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's the truth of the Word of God that Jesus is speaking of there. A lot of people paraphrase that text to make a statement, the truth's going to make you free. No. If we stay in the Word of God is going to reveal truth to us as we do so. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about Scripture. Thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117:2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. How long is forever? It's forever. And I believe we need to get back to truth, ladies and gentlemen. I go back to quoting the dystopian novel writer George Orwell, a secularist. Orwell said this, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be truthful today, factually truthful today. Truth matters, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on. And yet we have those today, By the way, let me just tuck this in. I find it fascinating that the loose likes lost liberals and the Democratic Party, the Socialist Marxist Party, they're just as upset as some of the conservatives in relationship to the drones. Chuck Schumer, for example, with his hair on fire. I'm looking at a headline about Schumer. Schumer calls on the feds to deploy declassified technology that can identify these drones. He's not the only one. A number of others on the left-leaning Marxist side of the aisle making the same statements. They're seeking answers. We'll talk about that further. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to get back to the basics of truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns, and I'm looking at a headline, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, DeMint says this, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real, yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. What is truth? Webster's Dictionary says truth is the body of real things, real events, real facts, real actualities. It is the state of being the case of fact. Now, you can have your own opinions, but you can't set up your own facts. In fact, one writer said, based on the new survey, 55% of Americans, 18 to 35-year-old age group, the millennials, think that each person determines their own version of truth. And that same age group says there's no absolute truth. That is an absolute falsehood. The Word of God, the Bible, is absolute truth. You can't pick and choose. You can look at what is happening politically, socially, economically, morally, and ethically, and you cannot pick and choose what you want to believe and narrow it down. I've said for many, many, many years, a half-truth is a whole lie. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth. Listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for those looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for a Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for a Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for a Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for a Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for a Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the problems that still got to be remedied, and some of this, I touched on it a moment ago, one of the problems got to be remedied is with the 1,200 plus people still in jail. Numbers of them, dozens, have already been tried and convicted based on a lie of the January 6th so-called insurrection. It might have been a riot, but it was not an insurrection. And what happened is that the FBI, listen carefully, they will open our telephone lines and we'll start our conversation with you, our listener. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been known since January the 6th, 2021, that there was a problem with the demonstrations at the Capitol. In fact, a number of months ago, I had an article that I used as part of the broadcast that day that it had been discovered that about 206 FBI agents were involved in the riots at the Capitol. Of course, not identifying as FBI agents. It's just come to light, ladies and gentlemen, that with the Inspector General's report, Horowitz's report, January 6th report, that report was ready and should have been revealed, I understand, 6 or 8 months ago. It was held back. Only God knows why. It was held back. It should have been released before the election. But it's just been released, where it is discovered and revealed that Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, lied under oath before a U.S. House of Representatives committee meeting investigating whether or not the FBI had intelligence agents there. Looking at the headline, FBI admits they had dozens of assets at the January 6th riot. For years, the FBI either stonewalled or flat out refused to tell the American people how many of their agents were in the crowd on that day. FBI Director Christopher Wray refused to answer that question multiple times during hearings on Capitol Hill. But now we know the answer to that question thanks to Inspector General's report. According to the IG's report, at least 26 undercover assets on the Capitol grounds. Some of those assets were in the Capitol. 4 entered the Capitol during the riot. 13 entered a restricted area at the Capitol grounds. Now keep in mind, the IG's report was limited to the actions of the FBI human resources. We're still waiting for the full investigation report, and could be a very damaging report from the Department of Justice, and the article goes on. The bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, Christopher Wray was mincing words when he said they had no FBI agents in the group. They did. They were off duty now, we're told, so they're not considered representing the FBI. Plus, they had a number of assets, as they call them, or we'd call them informants or stooges, where perhaps the individual's in trouble with the law. The FBI negotiates. You go in, find the dirt that you can find that we can prosecute Trump with, and we'll lighten your sentence. I'm using that as an illustration, of course, but that's the way the system works. And in that group, and I believe Ray Epps, the key person that was leading the rioters to go into the Capitol, wearing a MAGA hat. He's still never been prosecuted. They never will. They, the FBI and others, will never talk about, bring up his name, continue to circumvent the question. He was one of their lead people. And they're called assets or informants. Therefore, Christopher Wray thought that he was being smart by saying they didn't have any FBI agents there. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a trap for Donald Trump. It was set up, designed purpose, and we'll talk about it further in a moment, the designed purpose to put Trump in a position they could charge him with insurrection and use that as a trigger to try to prevent him from being qualified to run for president, as he's just run and successfully won the race and will be our 47th president when he's sworn in January the 21st, 2025. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about drones, guns, and the Bible. These drones that continue to be flown over America. We want to know your opinion. What are they? Who are they? Why are they being flown? Why aren't the thugs with badges telling Americans who they are and why they're there? If they're harmless, tell us who they are. If they're harmless, how do they know they're harmless unless they know the source? Our telephone lines are open, 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning, good morning.
Okay, Nancy Pelosi, when the captain of the security at the White House, at the building, said, let's get some National Guards in here, you know, to stop, you know, trying to, there's too many people for us. And she said, no. So I'd like to know that was a setup. And on top of that, I found out there was two guys. One of them was a double citizen, a dual citizenship from Iran, and he was real smart. And his partner, they sold a lot of stuff, a lot of our classified information to Iran. Is that true on that tip?
Oh, there's a ton of stuff that's been through the Biden administration leaked back to Iran. But let's get back to the focus that we're talking about just a moment ago, and that is the security at the Capitol. Donald Trump knew that there would be a huge crowd. In fact, some say there were a quarter million, a half million people there. I don't know the actual number. There's been a dozen different numbers bounded about the past few years. But nevertheless, he knew that there would be a major crowd control problem. He recommended through Trump, through his staff, recommended to Nancy Pelosi that they have about 20,000 National Guard there to basically patrol the area, make sure everybody's safe. She out of hand refused it. Bowser, the head of the police department in D.C., rejected it also. Nancy Pelosi knew what she was doing when she refused to allow the FBI, to allow the National Guard to come in to protect the people. It was a setup from the beginning. Only person that was killed that day, by the way, was a harmless, unarmed female that was summarily executed in the hallway. The police officer that did that, his record was washed, he was released, he's retired, and no charges made. That still needs to be rectified and made right. But the bottom line is, there was an opportunity to prevent this, but when you look at all that's happened in the past 3 years now since that took place, when you look at that and understand it was a planned stratagem being used by the left to try to undermine, tear down, and destroy Donald J. Trump. It did not work. It did not work. And right now, there's a case being made against Liz Cheney that headed up the J6 committee because of some of the illegal actions that she took and trying to formulate an opinion and put it together as a fact to prosecute Trump with. And most of what was used as prosecutorial material against Trump came out of the J6 committee headed up by Liz Cheney. So I'm thankful that the truth is ultimately coming out. And I pray that Donald Trump will do exactly what he said on day one, exonerate, release, commute the sentences, release all of the J6, what you would call political prisoners, and those that are being charged and have not been put in prison yet. It is a witch hunt trying to still destroy President Trump and his reputation. So we need to keep praying, but it's a fact that we have some of the truth coming out now, and I'm thankful for that. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. We need to keep praying because, go ahead.
Okay. And the lies about these are harmless drones, and these are security people. You know, and like you said, you could tell they had the technology to say, okay, that's a harmless, that's something else. And if you got a drone almost the size of an SUV, that tells me, no, that's no private citizen drone.
Well, Congressman McCaul, I watched one of his interviews this morning, and Congressman McCaul, out of the, I believe it's U.S. House, I don't know if he's a representative or a senator, but he's calling for major investigation. He says that he's pretty certain that it's Chinese assets that's here via the drones doing the spying on America, and yet the Biden administration and all of the acolytes out of that administration are refusing to talk about it, refusing to tell the truth, and as you say, they keep trying to assure the public, they're harmless, don't worry, they're not going to hurt you, just ignore them, don't say anything about it. Alejandro Mayorkas, the head of the DHS, says most of these are just airplanes that people do not recognize. They're calling them drones. It's basically saying don't pay attention to your lying eyes. And I'm amazed that this entire administration looks at the American citizens as though we're dumb, stupid, or just idiots. And as a result of that, think that somehow, some way, they can just pat us on the head and say, be a good boy now, be a good girl now, don't you worry about it. We're going to take care of you. And these drones that you're looking at, they're not harmful. They said the same thing for a month with two balloons flying over America. They said they were just some type of weather balloons, aviation balloons, et cetera, et cetera. Not harmless, not harmful. But it winds up that they were reconnaissance balloons out of China surveilling all of America. especially all of our military sites. And I believe we're witnessing the identically the same thing, but in a different methodology even today. So it deserves our prayer. It deserves our recognition. And we need to keep our eyes open and realize that we can't put our faith and trust in man. We need to put our faith and trust in God, because he's the only one that can help us at this juncture in life. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. I believe we have Bob on the line. Bob, go over with your question or comment, please.
With all due respect, I could understand the world not knowing what these drones are. I could even understand some church people not knowing what these drones are. But anybody that studied Bible prophecy knows exactly what these drones are. And I don't even know what percentage of the church studies Bible prophecy and knows what these drones are. But we've been waiting for these drones for this, what's called a fake alien invasion. They're the prerequisite to the rapture, because they're going to have to say that the Martians or the UFOs took all these Christians. You know, where did they go? So we've been expecting something like this. So we pretty much know exactly what these drones are, and it's pretty unforgivable that most of the church has no clue.
Bob, let me just touch on that and let you hear and then give your take on it. I believe you're right in a nuance. I don't believe these drones are going to be the ultimate drones that will be told by the general public. See, I can just see CNN after the rapture of the church pointing out these drones came in and all of these unidentified objects, unidentified flying objects, just took all of these people away. They will give some kind of excuse. The Marxist media, the socialist clan will still be trying to give excuses for what's happened after the rapture of the church. I don't believe we're at the point in time that it's actually what we're seeing now, but it's a precursor. It could be, but it's a precursor to what shall happen in the future. I believe also, Bob, going back to your basic question, I believe there's a minuscule number of Christians have any idea of what eschatological prophetic text is about. Minuscule number that looks at the scripture, studies the scripture, and understands what God says, what God is doing, how God is doing it, why God is doing it. It sounded like a glazed over eyes that, well, you know, I might occasionally go to church. I might call myself a Christian because I don't cuss the dog and kick the cat and beat my wife, and so therefore I'm a good person. There's a whole problem with that, and it is sad to see, but the church today is asleep. The church is asleep. The average Christian today, it's a laissez-faire, lackadaisical, I'll go to church on Sunday if that's required of me, but I don't really go because I'm seeking God, wanting to understand God's word. I think we're witnessing the falling away, the apostasy that the Bible talks about in the last days. We are in the last days. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about perilous times shall come. That means dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult, deadly. And those are the times we're living in, Bob. What are your thoughts?
I agree exactly. This is the prerequisite. These drones are going to be more often, and they're going to be bigger. And one other thing, I'll let other people talk, along with what's going on with these drones, people should keep an eye on Syria, because yes. Damascus in the Bible is about to be nuked, and both of the drones and Damascus are right before the rapture, so that's how close we are, in my opinion.
Absolutely. The days are close. It could be any moment. And Bob, I'm sure you're familiar with this, but for the benefit of our listeners, there are no signs to be fulfilled before the rapture. It could happen at any moment. So my admonition to any listener, if you're not saved, get saved. The next 30 seconds may be too late. Bob, thank you, brother, for your call. God bless you, and keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue our broadcast right after the news. We're talking about drones, guns, and the Bible. What does the Bible say about guns or Second Amendment rights? What does the Bible say about the drones, as Bob was just talking about? Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
The Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park. WA